Hi, listeners. Stories have so much power, and so does whoever controls the narrative. It is time that we dissect and analyze these stories. I am Vipul, and this is Woke Tales. Hi everyone. October 18th was National Body Confidence Day. It was all about getting the conversation going around body image and to create a community where we accept and celebrate ourselves and each other for the amazing individuals that we are, while starting a movement of support, awareness, and discussion around body image. This week's story has elements of conventional beauty and the societal pressure we feel to conform for our happiness and fulfillment. It is a French fairy tale called Ricky of the Tuft. On that note, it's story time. Once upon a time, there was a queen who bore a son so ugly and misshapen that for some time it was doubtful if he would have human form at all. The fairy present at the birth tried to mitigate her depression by predicting that the boy will be brilliant of mind and gives him a very surprising gift. Not beauty, as might have been expected in the circumstances, but the ability to bestow his own degree of intelligence upon whomever he should love most. Fortunately for him, he lived up to the hype from an early age, entertaining the court with his wit and wisdom. He was given the nickname Ricky of the Tuft in consequence of his one small tuft of hair, but it seemed more affectionate than malicious. He was clever enough to make himself popular. 7 or 8 years later, the queen of a neighboring kingdom gave birth to 2 daughters. The first was so exquisitely beautiful that the fairy present at the birth, the same who was there for Ricky's, decided to moderate the queen's gleeful gloating by pronouncing that the girl will grow up as stupid as she is beautiful. The queen's horror was compounded moments later when the second princess was born. If not as ugly as Ricky, then at least extremely plain. The fairy decreed that this girl will be so sensible that no one will care whether she was pretty or not. As for the elder daughter, the fairy backtracked slightly, giving her the gift of bestowing beauty on the one she loves. As the sisters grew older, their gifts and flaws grew in equal measure. When in company together, it was the eldest to whom everyone flocked at first, drawn by her beauty. But her inanity and awkwardness quickly drove them away, while her sister's intelligent conversation was always appreciated. The first princess was not so stupid that she wasn't aware of that, or she didn't wish for some of her sister's innate poise. None of this was her fault, but nothing she did helped. And even her mother didn't understand how hard it was for her. One day, she was sitting alone in the woods, crying over her impossible situation, when an ugly little man in very pretty clothes came towards her and introduced himself. It was Ricky of the Tuft. He had seen Princess's portrait and fell so deeply in love with it that he had left his father's kingdom in order to meet her. Her misery was unexpected. To him, beauty was the ultimate achievement, and once you had it, you should be completely happy. The princess tried, somewhat inaptly, to explain her troubles. At first, he refused to accept that the princess was stupid at all and insisted, quote, "Nothing more clearly displays good sense, madam, than a belief that one is not possessed of it. It follows, therefore, that the more one has, the more one fears it to be wanting." End quote. The princess didn't know how to argue with this. She just repeated how miserable she was. So he announced triumphantly that he can solve her problems with the gift bestowed on him at birth. The only condition was that she would agree to marry him. She wasn't entirely sold, weighing his looks against his promises. But at the end of the year he gave her to make up her mind, she accepted his hand. No sooner had she given her word than everything became clear to her. Not only could she express all the things she never could before, she could hold her own in a debate with Ricky so capably that he got worried she was actually cleverer than he was. When she returned to the palace, her transformation was feted as a miracle. The only person who didn't like this new princess was her sister, who couldn't compete with beauty and brilliance combined, and was sidelined by everybody who used to listen to her. Proposals poured in. It seemed that every prince in the surrounding kingdoms wanted to marry the elder princess now, but she could find none with the sense to match her own, and so refused them all. Then she met with another prince, one who was both handsome and clever, and rich to boot. It was tempting. She retreated to the woods to think the matter over, and there encountered Ricky once again. Well, actually, the first thing she saw was his staff. He had established a massive underground kitchen in preparation of his wedding. Now, the princess made her promise while still without sense. When transformed, the memories of her previous life were suppressed, and she completely forgot that she had a fiancé already. As if the resurfacing memory alone was enough to conjure his presence, Ricky himself appeared and greeted her in full expectation of her being his wife the next day. But that's not how the princess saw things. She coolly argued her point, explaining that a promise she hesitated to make even while cursed with stupidity should not chain her against the promptings of her newfound intelligence. If he wanted her, he should have married her while she was stupid enough to accept. As an intelligent man himself, surely he can see that. Ricky was in no mood for this sort of debate. Frankly, it was insulting. "Is it reasonable," he demanded, "that people who have sense should be treated worse than those who have not?" Then he pulled himself together, making use of his own intellect. He asked what it was, apart from his appearance, that she found objectionable about him. His family? His personality? His manners? The princess had to concede that she liked all these things about him. Ricky told her of the gift she was given at birth, the mirror image of his own, and in relief, she bestowed it on him, as he bestowed his on her. No sooner had she agreed once more to marry him, this time intending to honor the promise, than Ricky of the Tuft was transformed into the handsomest man she had ever seen. The end. A romanticized thought process would claim that this transformation was no fairy enchantment, but love. That in remembering all of Ricky's good traits and the kindness he had shown the older princess, that she looked at him with new eyes and he was made beautiful to her. It's a lovely idea, but is it really true? I don't think so, because God forbid someone not good looking will find love and happiness without a physical transformation in fairy tales. The story has a lot of problems. It pushes the idea that you have to be conventionally beautiful and clever to be happy in the world and for everyone to like you. Because if you're clever and not good-looking, people will enjoy your company but won't want to be romantically involved with you. It creates a monolith of beauty and the brain when they both are subjective and need context. Also, the princesses don't have names, even though one of them changes Ricky's life. There's also the element of sister rivalry. It would have been nice if Ricky had fallen in love with the plain but clever princess, but for all his intelligence, he was still every bit as shallow as the older princess. Although she deserves love as much as everyone, even if she wasn't clever. had Ricky and the younger princess got together, no one would have to change because of societal conformities. But that's only if the younger princess liked him. So going back to creating a community where we accept and celebrate ourselves and each other, because the pressure of being perfect in real life and virtually on social media is not new, and it's no secret how harmful it is. Sometimes I struggle with it too, trying to find the perfect filter for my pictures. But I have to embrace who I am, because where and when does it end? Maybe when we show our true selves all the time. On that note, bye for now. Let me know your thoughts on the story and our discussion by emailing me on woketalespodcast@gmail.com or through social media at woketalespodcast on Instagram and woketalespod on Twitter. And please rate, review, and like Woketales Podcast, and don't forget to subscribe so you can easily access our weekly stories. If you have any story recommendations, or if you want to come dissect and analyze a story with me, give me a shout out on email or social media. Because whatever you do, keep dissecting and keep analyzing.